Following episode of K-Voice was recorded at midnight, August 25th, 2017. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show. Hello. Thank you for listening to K-Voice of Resistance. That's the letter K, Voice of Resistance. I'm your host, Kelly the Voice. To everyone in the path of Hurricane Harvey, please be safe. It is the first major hurricane to make landfall in a dozen years. This could be our president's first major disaster. And may I remind everyone that he lost an aircraft carrier for 5 days, so here we go.
Good thing climate change doesn't exist, huh, guys?
My trip to Idaho last week to see the total eclipse of the sun was excellent, and it really was an amazing experience. I maybe even cried a little. Feeling the temperature change the hour before and the hour after was a trip. And then there was the 360-degree sunrise-sunset that lasted for the minute and a half that the sun was completely blocked out. The enthusiasm of the science lovers around me was infectious. I made a point to wear my Love is Love rainbow superhero shirt, a science shirt, or a resistance shirt through Trump country, just to poke the badger a bit. It was a great trip. I hope everyone enjoyed their eclipse. Okay, here's the news. Colin Kaepernick. The Huffington Post reported that nearly 100 NYPD officers dressed in black shirts that said #I'm with Cap rallied on Saturday morning in support of Colin Kaepernick. The former San Francisco 49ers player lionized and reviled for refusing to stand during the national anthem. Kaepernick has yet to be signed by a team, presumably because of his activism. The NFL is cool with rapist, animal, and woman abusers, but take a knee during a national anthem and you're out. Can I say something about the national anthem? It is a battle song. If I'm going to salute flag and country, it certainly isn't going to be with a celebration of war. It's disturbing. And the rocket red wave.
No KKK, no fascist USA!
Here you go,
no Trump! No KKK, no fascist USA!
40,000 counter-protesters crashed Donald's Nuremberg rally in Phoenix, Arizona, a largely peaceful show of resistance to Donald and his sycophantic fans of hate.
No Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA!
And more good news. The city council in the city near me decided to give the middle finger to threats from Donald and his elf sessions and voted 5-0 to make their city a sanctuary city. On the flip side of the city council situation, my sister-in-law is a librarian. You may have heard my interview with her in an earlier episode. The city where she works has decided to privatize their library. Her library. Causing many city workers to lose their jobs. Despite the protest of hundreds of angry residents, the city council voted 3-2 Wednesday to begin the process of outsourcing the city's library service to a private company. An overflow crowd of more than 250 people, almost all opposed to the plan, packed the city council chambers and for hours pleaded with the city council not to move forward with signing the contract with Maryland-based Library Systems and Services, Inc.
Ooh, you suck!
The privatization of a vital community resource is worth talking about, but I also wanted to use it as an example as to why city council matters and why our votes for small things like city council matter. Our votes can save livelihoods, save public services, and more. Casting an emotional no vote was Councilwoman Olga Diaz, who called the library the heart and soul and core of the city. Sadly, her vote was not enough. One man on the city council said, in reference to those concerned citizens giving private comment, he gets tired of this crap. And then, to quote my sister-in-law, quote, two council members, both white dudes, looked out at the audience after a long night of passionate, well-reasoned testimonials from the community for why we should maintain the library as a public entity and said, we don't understand this activist gene. Yes, they really said that. This country was built on activism, unquote. Only those who sit on the throne of privilege, who lack the empathy gene, don't get, don't respect, don't see a cause for activism. A person doesn't have to be an activist to see its value. It's not a gene, it's a choice. Like, being an asshole is a choice. Activism strikes at the core of the human spirit. It speaks to your passions for others, for the soul of America, for the world. Activists dare to care. Dare to fight and dare to see the darkness, the oppression, the plight of others, of animals, of the earth. I pity those men, for they must have nothing in their lives so great that it is worth fighting for. Or perhaps they've never experienced the sweet ache of a loss, or the shivers of threat. They are missing out on the vitality of a life hard won. But to the point, votes matter. Elections matter. These men who complain about having to hear from the public they serve, their bosses, have no place as public servants. Votes matter. Elections matter. Statistics are now available in the success of Oregon's Automatic Voter Registration Program, AVR. And they are impressive. Oregon was the first state to implement an automatic voter registration program through the DMV. 9 states have passed laws embracing AVR. 31 states are considering it. And now Congress is looking at expanding the idea across the country. If the United States calls itself a participatory democracy, voter participation in elections should be top priority, shouldn't it? According to statistics highlighted by The Nation, presidential election participation has hovered between 50 and 65% of eligible voters for decades. Primary participation ranges from 25 to 45%, while participation in local elections is often even lower. Sometimes as low as single digits. That's not a lot of participation. Until Oregon instituted AVR in January 2016, every voter registration system in the country put the burden on the individual to initiate participation. AVR puts the burden on the government by using standard government records to identify and register residents who can choose to opt out. How well did AVR work? A significant share of AVR-registered voters participated in the 2016 presidential election. 44% of AVR registrants voted. 95% of AVR registrants who voted were voting for the first time. AVR got more people of color and young people voting. People of color were 15% of AVR voters, compared with 6% of non-AVR voters. 37% of AVR voters were between the ages of 18 and 29, compared with 13% of non-AVR voters. AVR got more people voting. 39% of AVR voters were below the state median income, compared to 34% of the non-AVR electorate. Oregon already had a higher than average voter turnout, but AVR increased participation in the 2016 election higher than any other state. National average increase in the voter participation in the 2016 presidential election was 1.6%. Oregon's increase in participation following AVR was 4%. From 64 to 68% of the eligible electorate, only 8% of enrollees through the AVR program decided to opt out, but only 11% chose party. So, the increase in participation in the primaries will be less impressive than if Oregon had had open primaries, which they should be open primaries. That's ridiculous. At a time when many states are pursuing stricter voter registration laws, voter suppression laws, which have been proven to reduce electoral participation, Oregon has taken the opposite tack. So, we have a call to action.
Call to action.
Call to action.
Call to actions.
Calls to actions.
Call to action.
HR 2840 would amend the Voting Rights Act to expand the Oregon model to the whole country. It was introduced by Representative David Sicily, Democrat of Rhode Island, to significantly increase the numbers of registered voters by requiring states to automatically register eligible voters unless the voter opts out. And it has 119 co-sponsors, all Democrats, of course. This is the only bill I'm highlighting today because it may be the most important this year. Call your representative. Find out if they are supporting the bill, and if not, ask why they aren't, and then tell them you are a concerned constituent who is proud of America's democracy and you would like it if they would sign on to the bill. Call your representative directly or at the switchboard at 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121.
Ring, ring, hello? Ring, ring, hello?
I support traditional marriage.
Okay, guys. I want to talk about Mike Pence, our vice president and secret penis enthusiast for a minute, who, in case anyone forgot, is a proponent of using our tax dollars to pay for gay conversion therapy. The Christian right hero, the born-again evangelical Catholic, or Christian, or both? How does that work? I don't know.
I don't know how all that stuff works.
But suffice it to say, he's a religious fanatic, a zealot, a terrifying ideologue who calls his wife mother and refuses to be alone in a room with a woman. He has avoided attention since he assumed the mantle of vice president. Let's check in with the man who would be president. Should we get our way and oust the shame of the century, Donald, the crying queen of white grievance? Parker Malloy of Upworthy has compiled a list of 20 things the white Christian grievance queen has been up to that we may have missed. 1. In January, Pence and others lobbied El Presidente Chito Benito to take hardline positions on abortion, making good on some of his anti-choice campaign pledges. Pence has led the charge to advance Donald's policy agenda. You may have seen him popping up in some of the Sunday morning political talk shows.
Fox News.
To push Donald's agenda items. This is especially the case on issues where Donald himself may not appear to have a total grasp of policy. Most everything, really. But things such as healthcare. 3. He's been very vocal about supporting the use of tax dollars to fund religious schools. 4. In January, Mike Pence met with anti-abortion activists at the White House and became the first vice president ever to deliver a speech at the annual March for Life. 5. Mikey Pence spent much of February selling the nomination of Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court as mainstream. 6. Pence cast the tie-breaking vote to confirm Betsy Bible-banging DeVos as Secretary of Education, the first time a vice president has done so on a cabinet pick. 7. In May, Pence was named the head of Donald's Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity, otherwise known as the Presidential Advisory Commission on Voter Suppression and Intimidation. 8. Pence invited anti-abortion activists to the White House to discuss how to merge their agenda with that of the administration. 9. Later that month, he would cast the tie-breaking vote to nullify an Obama-era rule allowing that Title X funds be used for family planning services. 10. Pence has met with members of the financial industry and championed efforts to roll back Dodd-Frank consumer protections. 11. In May, Pence addressed the Susan B. Anthony List Campaign for Life Gala, touting the administration's success when it comes to curtailing reproductive rights. Pence declared, quote, "For the first time in a long time, America has an administration that is filled top to bottom with people who stand without apology for life," unquote. To cheers, he would later promise to ensure the people receiving health care subsidies would not be able to purchase insurance coverage that includes access to abortion. 12. Pence played a large role in urging Trump to sign the Religious Liberty Executive Order during the National Day of Prayer ceremony. 13. Pence addressed the first ever World Summit in Defense of Persecuted Christians on May 11th. That is not a joke. That's actually what it's called. The speech bolstered the administration's narrative that Christians are the true victims of terrorism in the Middle East. Which is true, if you don't count for facts and numbers and stuff. At the University of Notre Dame, Pence delivered a fiery commencement address targeting political correctness. In May, Pence started his own political action committee called the Great America Committee. Mikey making a move for the presidency?
Or maybe he's just raising money for his own legal fees.
In June, Pence was put in charge of the U.S. space policy. It's still unclear what sort of direction little Mikey is going to take, though he has made promises to put people on Mars. 17. He raised money for his own PAC and other political causes. 18. On June 23rd, Pence addressed Focus on the Family, a powerful anti-LGBTQ organization, for its 40th anniversary, speaking about the administration's commitment to helping persecuted people of faith and protecting their rights to discriminate against LGBTQ people under the guise of religious liberty. Pence told the crowd, quote, "This president believes that no American should have to violate their conscience to fully participate in American life, and he has taken action to protect the expressions of faith by men and women across the nation," unquote. Well, what about your desire, Mikey, to deny LGBTQ people their full expression and participation in life?
You are an idiot.
This is the same organization, mind you, that has called homosexuality a particularly evil lie of Satan, and has called transgendered people mentally ill, and, quote, like Cinderella in a fantasy world, unquote.
Oh, shove off, you bigots.
19. As special elections have propped up across the country, Pence has been hitting the campaign trail in support of his fellow Republicans.
Like a good little cheerleader.
This once again shows pants for the shrewd politician he is. He is able to help prop up other candidates. Donald, on the other hand, is mostly good at promoting one person. Donald, 20. Pence has been pressuring Congress to implement anti-transgender policies on the military. Days before Adolf Hitler tweeted that he was banning trans people from serving in the military, Foreign Policy reported that Pence was lobbying hard to fight back against the trans inclusion. Pence was reportedly putting pressure on members of Congress to hold the 2018 Defense Authorization Bill hostage unless it included a rider barring funds from being used on transition-related healthcare. This matters because Pence might not always be in the background. During the campaign, Pence's extreme positions were largely whitewashed.
He was softballed.
As president, Mikey Pence has shown himself to be the man he's always been, a smooth-talking politician with a far, far right social conservative views. So let's keep a watchful eye on what he is doing now, because he may just be president one day. Should that day come, we can say goodbye to women's and LGBTQ rights. A quick update on the transgender military ban situation. So the White House has sent down a memo that outlines what the Donald wants with this transgender military ban. The memo indicates that the military is to stop admitting transgender people and that the Pentagon should weigh transgendered persons' ability to deploy before expelling them. And if that wasn't bad enough, the memo also instructs that the Pentagon stop payments on transgender service members' medical treatments. Good news is, the Pentagon has said in a statement that it, quote, has not received formal guidance from the White House as a follow-up to the Commander-in-Chief's announcement on military service by transgender personnel. The Defense Department continues to focus on our mission of defending our nation in ongoing operations against our foes while ensuring service members are treated with respect. Unquote. The Pentagon will send out a formal announcement should guidelines ever be received. On to happier topics. Hate groups. The Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC.
Please donate.
Defines a hate group as one that has beliefs or practices that attack or malign an entire class of people, typically for their immutable characteristics. According to the SPLC, there are currently 917 active hate groups in the United States. If you are interested in learning more about these 917 groups, the SPLC creates an annual report that is constantly updated, and a comprehensive list. You can also view their hate map to view which hate groups are where in the United States or near you. There's been a 197% increase in anti-Muslim hate groups since 2015. There are 663 anti-government patriot groups, 130 Ku Klux Klan groups, 197 black separatist groups, 99 neo-Nazi groups, 100 white nationalist groups, 78 skinhead groups, 21 Christian identity groups, 43 neo-Confederate groups, 193 black separatist groups, 52 anti-LGBTQ groups, 101 anti-Muslim groups, and 100 just general hate groups, which seems to be mostly anti-immigrant. Beginning to feel hemmed in. The darkest recesses of America have opened up their maws and spewed forth the most vile of creatures. They have crawled into the light and are barreling through our societies with bold, shameless, audacious, and hypocritically righteous self-prescribed white authority. Neo-Nazis, white nationalists, white supremacists, alt-righters, white mercenaries, supplanting the religious right in political influence, a shift that maybe is more appropriately described as the religious right without their mask on. Over the past year, we have suffered political violence between the right-wing extremists on protesters and counter-protesters at pro-Trump rallies in Minnesota, Washington, California, and now Virginia. This extremist movement seeks to disrupt civil society, undermine government institutions, to institute their own law and what supposed justice they deem appropriate, and will dole out their own punishments. Their woman and minority-hating ways relegate them to a minority, a small minority, but a loud one, a brutal one, a growing one, and an increasingly influential one. They have tapped into the oldest grievance in America, white man's grievance. White insecurity, white fear, the other. White man landed on this rock and made quick work of slaughtering all who did not look like them, then sought to dominate and own black men, women, and children, And the rest is history. A history we have never made up for and are institutionally and systematically still living, still inflicting on our black and our brown brothers and sisters. More black men are behind bars or under the watch of the criminal justice system than were enslaved in 1850. Slavery still exists. It just has a more politically correct window dressing. Racism is in the DNA of this country. It is written in the Constitution, from the Three-Fifths Rule to the U.S. Constitution's Second Amendment. Whose purpose, in part, was to allow southern states well-armed, slave-catching militias. The examples could fill hours and hours. Still, my words would affect only those who already see the injustice, but would land with a dull thud on deaf ears at those who live in ignorance and fear, and those who are responsible for the continued institutionalization of effective slavery, segregation, and disenfranchisement. The GOP, the Republican Party, who took the Southern strategy and never looked back. They folded religion into their party and placed religious values before the people as bait, as red meat, so that they could enact their predatory capitalist agendas. Reagan opened up that door, the door to Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson. And from then on, their party was one who served no purpose but the denial of rights to all but the segment of the population blessed with their God's chosen gender. Chosen skin color. And the shift from the religious right to the white supremacist right is little different. The pursuit of pro-white man affirmative action sanctioned enforcement to the government. Now they pursue pro-white man affirmative action sanctioned and enforced by the government. Small government be damned. And again, the religious right, who cries for small government, too had little qualms about increased government when it comes to violating or suppressing rights either. It is important to realize that these foul creatures who deign to call themselves superior are not new. They simply had the good sense to stay in the woods and under hoods or couched in veiled rhetoric. Well, now they are out. Now we have a terrifying culture war before us. They say it is 30 years before whites become a minority, and 30 years is a long time for the minorities among us to be under threat. Importantly, these groups, those men at the Charlottesville rally, were not solely attacking black Americans, brown Americans, and even gay Americans. They were largely attacking Jewish Americans. And this story has been largely unrepresented in the coverage since the rally. Here is Eliza Warner, a Jewish teacher. Quote, "The Confederate flag that people carried is a symbol of enslavement and oppression, our shameful history, and the racism we have not yet resolved. Keep talking about this, acting on this, be unrelenting, but please turn around and look. The target of the Nazi organization is the Jewish people, and we are standing right here, desperately needing your alliance and support. We need you to see us. We need your awareness. We need you to embrace us in your defenses and discussions. We need you to cry out against hate, consciously denouncing anti-Semitism as you rebuke other forms of racism and bigotry. We need you to include us in every resource you share and conversation you have. We need you. Amplify our voices. Undertake our plight too." Unquote. People are afraid, and rightfully so. The other day, my 7-year-old nephew, who is of mixed race, asked his mom why white people are treated better than black or brown people. She didn't have the words to summarize the history of racism or systemic oppression in such a way that a 7-year-old could understand, if that's possible. And she said at her age, she fully doesn't understand the reason herself. My nephew's question is not unique. It is something young and old people of color have been asking for centuries. And more of late, we can thank our president for that. Maybe it'll be good. Perhaps we're dragging this ugly racism into the light. Perhaps this is the start of a very important and very difficult conversation that this country needs to have. No more hiding. No more PC denials from the GOP and the religious right from Fox News. Quote unquote. Support of the president is support of racism as clear as day. Our enemies are more clearly defined now. They are out in the light. And those who choose not to take sides are as guilty of hate as the groups that terrorize this country. People don't have to be liberal or leftist to be on the right side of history. Everyone must choose. I have chosen. I am not the tolerant left, the go-along, get-along left, the accepting left. I am filled with plenty of hate. I love those who deserve my love. I respect those who have earned my respect. And I will give anybody the benefit of the doubt, but it is easy to lose my respect and it is easy to earn my hate. Simple as that. And ashamedly, I hate those who refuse to see others as equal, who deny facts and knowledge, who choose ignorance and aim to hurt others. How does the meme go? I am not the tolerant left. I am the appalled left. I am the angry left. I am the compassion is not a weakness left. I am the sick of your racist and otherist left. I am the not standing back while you spew hatred left. I am the healthcare is not a privilege left. I am the get your laws off my body left. I am the not putting up with being marginalized left. I am the not normalizing a racist president left. I am fighting police brutality left. I am rising up left. And you will not prevail. And it starts with the simple things. It starts with each of us. I have something I need everyone to do. More than 1,500 Confederate monuments stand in communities like Charlottesville, even in some in Western states, like the Robert E. Lee Elementary Schools in Los Angeles and San Diego. These monuments have a potential to unleash more turmoil and bloodshed. It is time to take them down. Please send a letter to the editor to your local newspaper to take down the Confederate monuments in your community. Go to the Southern Poverty Law Center's website, or you can find the link to it on my Facebook page at K-Voice of Resistance, and you'll find a sample letter that you can use. Or better yet, put it in your own words. Then the SPLC is asking us to fill out a form at the bottom of their webpage to let them know where we've sent it. Together, we can make our communities safer and our country a place where liberty and justice are truly for all. Before I go, here's the best news I've heard in a while. The European Commission just announced that they won't greenlight the Bayer-Monsanto merger. The merger that promised to impoverish farmers, damn the environment, and our food. And we made it happen. Thousands of people from around the world bombarded the European Commissioner, Commissioner Vestager, with tweets, emails, and postcards raising the alarm about this merger. And Vestager replied directly to the people, saying she shares our concerns. She'll now open an in-depth probe on the merger. This will take months, and it gives us more time to stop the merger once and for all. This is a huge victory for the bees, for the environment, for our food, and especially for us. SomeOfUs.org, the online community that campaigns to hold big corporations accountable, was one of the chief forces behind making this happen. Some of Us members opposed this merger from the very beginning and built up one of their strongest campaigns ever. More than 700,000 people signed their petition. And with generous donations from thousands of people like you and me, they were able to pay for congressional hearings, our own people-powered lobbyists, and legal white paper that proved that this merger is illegal. But the Some of Us community did not stop there. They even took over the whole Politico EU homepage and pressured the decision-makers in Brussels with ads. Bayer and Monsanto wanted the EU to quietly approve their merger, but they didn't get that. The Some of Us community ramped up the campaign and pressured the commission to extend its review and finally open an in-depth investigation. This is a crushing defeat for Bayer and Monsanto, and we can't stop there. Our fight is far from over. In fact, we will need to work harder than ever in the upcoming months to stop their plans. But with this victory, we have proven once again how strong people power is. Now we will work to stop this merger for good. The commission has until January to take action. Activism works! Thank you for listening. You can find my show on crabdiving.com. That's one word. CRABDIVING.com under the K-Voice tab, or download my show as a podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice, and of course on Facebook at K-Voice of Resistance. Okay, take care of yourselves out there, and as always, resist.